Well, good morning, visitors. I can see a few unfamiliar faces. You're really welcome, and we pray that you'll be blessed by the word this morning. I'm going to start straight off with a scripture from Matthew 11. It says, "From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it." It's a good one, that, isn't it? I would like you to form a fist with one hand and smack it into the other hand. Okay? The Lord wants to put some fight in us. I really believe that. I looked up the word courage in the dictionary, and it said bold, determined, and fearless. And he wants to make us fearless. He hasn't given us a spirit of fear, has he? But of power, of love, and a sound mind. But that needs to work out through our soul. He wants to make you and I fearless. You know, King David, well, before he became the king, he fought with the lions and the bears, didn't he? And it says he caught them by the beard. When they took off one of the sheep in their mouths, he caught them by the beard, went after them, struck them, and killed them. Because he wasn't going to take the enemy's stuff lying down, you know. He had some gumption about him. That was another word I was thinking of, you know. He took the initiative and went after these lions and bears and fought them. Fearlessly, brave heart that he was. And he took back what they had stolen from him. Now, we can take everything that the enemy dishes out to us, or we can stand up against him and basically rule over him in Jesus' name. And I spoke a message on in the power in the name of Jesus last week, and I'm really, this is kind of part two. We're going to have a continuation of that, but we started the message, those of you who were here, if you remember, we started the message praying for one another from Ephesians, that the Lord would give us revelation of our inheritance in the saints. And there's a bit before that actually talks about the hope of our calling. So I would like you, you've already prayed for the person next to you, but I'd like you just to put the hand, your hand on the shoulder of the person next to you and pray for those things. Pray, first of all, for revelation of the hope of their calling, but also revelation, again, of their inheritance. So just take a moment, pray for one another. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, now, as I said, this is kind of part two to the message last weekend. And if you remember, I was speaking about lions and mice. Not yet. Bit premature. Lions and mice. And what happens is sometimes our perception gets a bit twisted. And it's like this. We start to think, although we're the lion, we start to think of ourselves as really, really small, and the enemy is really, really big. We think, although he's a mouse, he's kind of got lion strength over us, and he can dominate us in that way. And although we are lions, we act like mice, scurrying around all over the place, trying to stay out of danger. And we need to adjust our thinking, don't we, according to the word. Okay. We need to see ourselves as the Lord tells us we are. Think right and believe right. I'm the lion, he's the mouse. And the size is like this. And the strength is like this. And my ability is like that in comparison. The righteous, it says, are as strong as a lion. And he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. The book of Revelation actually refers to Jesus as the lion of the tribe of Judah. And his spirit is in you. If you're born again right now, the spirit of the Lion of Judah is in you. Now, I want to remind you also of an illustration I used last week of being in Christ and having Christ in you. And I said it's like the bottle in the sea. If you think about the bottle in the sea's in the bottle and the bottle's in the sea. We're in Christ and he's in us. We're in the greater one. And the greater one is in us. I personally love that analogy. I find it really helpful. I hope you do too. But, you know, he's in us, we're in him. And God is three in one, isn't he? And the Father and the Son, they're in heaven. And I had this thought this week, that the Holy Spirit is a missionary. The Holy Spirit is on location. He's on assignment in believers on the earth. He's the sent one. So the Father and the Son right now are in heaven, according to Scripture, but the Holy Spirit is on earth in us. But we're just going to look, if you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1, we're going to actually have a look and read together exactly where Jesus is, his position. Ephesians 1 and, well, we'll start from verse 18. This is what we've prayed for one another already. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which, verse 20, here's the bit I want to home in on, he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age now, but in that which is to come. What is Jesus over? Everything. Doesn't it say that in your Bible? Everything and every body, every name. Every name now, every name that is to come, every name that will be named. People have names. Demons have names. Diseases have names. He is over every name. He's over all of them. Not only the ones we know about and the ones that exist now, but any that may manifest in the future. Every name that has been named, every name that will be named, he is and always will be over them all. Yes, it's time for a clap, I think. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, now, where are we? On earth, right now, physically, we're in Taunton. Physically, we're on earth. But positionally, our rank or status is in Christ. Cast your eyes over to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6. And it says, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, if you think about a position in a company, like a CEO or a managing director, the title or the position determine the level of authority. Am I right? The title or the position determine the sphere of influence. Jesus is far above all, every name, and we are in him, according to Ephesians 2, verse 6. Yes? Nod if you agree. Yes, there it is written in the word for you. He's raised us up to be far above all powers and principalities. Let's look at verse 22 of chapter 1. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And verse 22, he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So he's the head and he's over all. But we're the body. That means we are over all. The body is connected to the head. We are therefore over all in him. Are you following? Okay, we're just going to take a steady walk through Scripture this morning, because that's how faith comes, by hearing the word, bit by bit, line upon line. When did all this happen? Look at verse 20. Which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand. So, Jesus was raised above every power and principality, a name that has been named, will be named, above every might and dominion, when the Lord raised him from the dead. When did God raise you up? The day you were born again. The day you were born again, he seated you with Christ, sea in the bottle, bottle in the sea, in heavenly places. Am I getting somewhere with you? I hope so. So let me ask you this. Are you under the devil or are you over him? Come on, positionally, we are over him in Christ. Now, the devil fights to stop us getting this revelation and to stop us believing this revelation, because he wants to keep us down. He wants to have power over us. But when Jesus said it, didn't he? You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. When you see from Scripture positionally where you are in Christ, you understand, hang on a minute, I've got authority over you. Okay, so the only power the enemy has over us, listen carefully now, the only power the enemy has over us is the power that we give him. We can give him power over us. We can give in to fear when we don't rebuke it immediately, when we kind of let it sit in our thoughts. And when we do that, we give him power over us, don't we? We all know that from our experience. We give him power over us when we give in to temptation. We let those kind of thoughts and suggestions sit in our thinking till eventually, if we don't take authority over them and we give in to them, temptation moves into sin, we give him power over us. Look at Ephesians 4. We've got it up on the screen, actually. Ephesians 4, 26 and 27. In your anger, one example here. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Look at this bit, though, in green. And do not give the devil a foothold. Another translation says, do not give the devil any place. A foothold is a secure position that you can make further progress from. If we're giving the devil a foothold, we're giving him a secure position that he can make further progress from. It's kind of an entrance in. Don't give him an entrance in, basically. Let's not give him power over us, because if you give him a small place, who knows, you'll take a greater place. We all know that. Whether it be sin, whether it be fear, you know, in my experience, if I give in to a little fear, what I see as a little fear, it's amazing how that thing grows. We need to take authority because we can in Jesus' name. We're going to go into that a bit later. But the enemy's intention, you know it very well, but it's good to kind of expose it again. The enemy's intention is to kill, steal, and destroy, isn't it? Yes. He makes no bones about it. He's not double-minded. He's not nice one day and bad the next. He is always bad. He's always merciless, ruthless, and out to destroy. By any means necessary. Deception, accusation, condemnation, threats, suggestions. But we have all authority over him. We're going to look at this fantastic scripture in Luke chapter 10, verse 19. It says, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all, say all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Think about that. Nothing. You have authority over him. You know, he lies and says, when you do stuff for God, there's going to be some sort of payback, reprisal. No, no, no. We have authority over him. We can trample on him. And nothing shall by any means harm us. I find it very interesting, the word trample there. Because do you remember in Ephesians 2, it spoke about all things are under his feet. We're his body. Therefore, all things are under our feet. Positionally, he is under our feet, but we need to keep him there. The devil is under your feet. You need to keep him there by believing right, thinking right, speaking right. And as soon as he rises up against you with a thought or a suggestion or an accusation or a threat, which no doubt he will this week because that's what he does, don't entertain him. Don't give him a foothold. Don't give him place. Don't consider it. Don't try and reason the devil away, because you can't. We'll never beat him in the realm of reason. We've got a spiritual weapon. He's a spiritual enemy, and we have a spiritual weapon, and we need to use it. Now, I'm going to share just briefly a bit of testimony with you. off and on, for quite a while, my eyes have been very sensitive and they kind of get gritty and they feel really strained. And the enemy lies, saying that in the future I'll have a problem with my eyes. And, you know, you can kind of hear these thoughts and you can almost tolerate these negative thoughts and just trying to bat them off with reason. Reason never works. I got a scripture from Deuteronomy. It's actually about Moses. It says his eyes, when he died 120 years old, his eyes were not dim and his natural strength did not diminish. Now, I've got that now. I've claimed that. The Lord really gave me that, and I've taken that as my shield and my sword, because that's the word can operate as both. Every time I hear that fiery dart, you're going to have a problem with your eyes when you're older. I say, no, no, no. My eyes will not grow dim and my natural strength will not diminish in Jesus' name. But you need a shield to quench the fiery darts, don't you? You need a sword to defend yourself and to defeat him. Now, look at 1 Peter 5, another scripture. We've got it on the screen. 1 Peter 5:8. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We need to wake up, church. Have faith that you can. But we need to meditate on these scriptures that I'm sharing this morning. Look, the battle is real. It is. You know, whether you believe it is or not, just because it's invisible doesn't mean it isn't real. There is a spirit world that is as real as we are, and its consequences play out in the natural world all the time. And we, praise God, are in a privileged position. We have authority over him. And we need to take that King David approach. You come against me, I come against you in the name of the Lord God Almighty. So we need to resist him. The only way we can resist him is with the word. The only way I can resist him when he comes against me with this lie about my eyes is to use that scripture I've been given. I can resist him steadfast, unwavering in my faith. Just say to the person next to you, resist him steadfast in your faith. I feel a bit like one of those cowboys, you know, in the Wild West films where they used to stand opposite their enemy, you know, at midday, and it was kind of first one on the trigger wins. It's like that, you know, and the Lord, he enables us to be the first one on the trigger. He gives us the advantage, you know, to hit the enemy and defeat him. But we got to get skilled with the weapon. This is our weapon. We've got to get skilled with it so that we can deal with the enemy confidently. Not will he, won't he, will this work, won't it work. Resist him steadfast in your faith, firm, unwavering. Now, I'm going to bring a scripture now that I'm sure most of you know, but it's a very important scripture. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will what? He will flee from who? Does it say he will flee from Jesus? It's interesting, this. No. He will flee from you. Because when you use your authority in faith, he flees. It doesn't matter how you feel. This is the thing. It doesn't say, submit to God, resist the devil when you feel victorious, and he will flee from you. You know, resist the devil when you feel courageous and a little bit feisty, and he will flee from you. Because who knows, most often when we need to resist him, we don't feel particularly victorious. We don't feel particularly strong. Often we feel weak, or we feel sick, or we feel defeated in some way. And we need to stop going on our feelings, don't we? We need to stop living by our feelings. My gosh, I can't tell you how many messages I've heard on this. And yet still I can be tempted to be led by my feelings. I've got a brilliant quote for you from Smith Wigglesworth. He says, your feelings are often on the line of discouragement. Isn't that true? You have to get away from the walk of sense, for God has said, the just shall live by his faith. Stop putting faith in your feelings and start putting faith in who the Lord says you are, in the authority that he's given you. Believe you are who he says you are. Believe What did I just say? You are who he says you are. You are where he says you are. Seated with Christ in heavenly places. Authority over all the power of the enemy. Submit to God. If we could just go back to that James scripture. Submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. To flee from means to run as in terror. It's not just, you know, eventually, after a delay, he'll toddle off. No. He will flee from you as in terror. Resist the enemy. He will flee from you as in terror. So we need to use our faith and we need to use our authority. There's a principle that works in the kingdom that basically says whatever you use will grow. If you use your talents, they'll grow. If you use your money, it will grow. If you use your faith, it will grow. We've been given a measure of faith, haven't we? Every one of us. When we were born again, we were given a measure of faith. And we need to use it to see it grow. If I was to go around the room, there as many people as you are here today, there would be that many issues, and probably more, that you're facing at the moment that's kind of coming against you in some way. That issue you're facing right now is an opportunity to grow your faith. It's an opportunity to get God's solutions, but it's also an opportunity to see your faith grow. Just commit it to him. Lord, talk to him about it. You know, I'm facing this. This is a real challenge to me. Speak to me about it. Give me a promise. I want to use my faith against the enemy and see a victory and really see my faith grow. Faith in my authority. Faith in who you say I am. Because we're not meant to stay babies. You know, babies, you have to carry them, don't you? And you have to feed them. And if you don't feed them, you know, they will grow weak and eventually die. We're not meant to stay spiritual babies. We're not meant to be dependent on other people to carry us and feed us. Of course, at times, we need the support and encouragement of others. We need the prayer of faith. But God never wants us to depend on people more than we depend on him. We're meant to go to him personally, aren't we, and receive his encouragement and word that is going to lift us and strengthen us. His plan for us, his vision for us, is to be strong, skilled soldiers, trained to defeat the enemy and take territory. Steering our lives, not according to emotions or according to reason, but according to the word of God, because we've trained ourselves to. Not because it's always the easiest thing, but soldiers are trained. They have kind of reflex reactions, don't they? Because they've been trained. In that situation, that's the trained response. We need to train. When the enemy comes against you with discouragements, you have a shield that you can hold up to defeat him. If you think, I'm going to do that, you know, I want to be more like that, I want you to say to the person next to you, no more baby, much more soldier. No more baby, much more soldier. Soldiers are trained to take responsibility, aren't they? They're trained to take action themselves. They don't depend on the commanding officer to do everything for them. Think about this. You won't find a single scripture in the New Testament that tells us to pray about the devil. Hear that, please. I promise you, there isn't a single scripture that will tell you to pray about the devil. Why? Because we're meant to command. We are meant to deal with him. It's our job to take authority over him, to rule over him, steadfast in our faith. The youngest, newest believer has authority over the enemy. They just need to believe they can and use it. Now, the Bible says that he's the God of this age. Satan is the God of this age, or the God of this world, but he's not our God. We're in the world, but not of the world. Jesus is our God. Jesus is our Lord. And he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. Look at Colossians 1. We've got it on the screen. Colossians 1 verse 13 says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Notice the tense there. Not he will. He has. He has delivered you. He's already delivered you from the power of darkness. Past tense. Think about this. It's really important you get your doctrine right, your thinking right. Jesus has already dealt with the devil on your behalf. He has delivered you. We now need to keep ourselves delivered by ruling in his name. Yes? Okay. Now, I had a dream years ago that really gave me insight into the reality of the spirit realm. And I saw this black bird in the dream just kind of flapping and flying around my head, trying to kind of peck at me and swooping down, trying to peck at me. And I naturally in the dream was trying to bat it off, you know, kind of trying to bat it away, flailing my arms around, and it wasn't doing any good until in the dream it dawned on me that I needed to command it to go in Jesus' name. And I did. Guess what happened? That thing flew out of the window. Amen. Peace returned. Because, you know, the enemy, he torments us. Jesus actually likened the enemy to the birds of the air, you know, in the parable of the sower, didn't he? We can't fight the enemy with natural weapons, you know, naturally, physically trying to do things, natural reasoning, natural resources. There's times when just a bit more sleep won't help. There's times when a change in circumstances won't improve things, because it's a spiritual issue, it's a supernatural problem. It's powers of darkness at work. And we need to rule over them in the name of Jesus. We need to encourage one another, church, to think spiritually and to respond spiritually. Not that we see demons round every corner, okay? We're not going to let the devil set the agenda. We're going to follow Jesus, but as we go, whatever opposition comes against us, we know how to deal with it with faith in him, okay? Sober, vigilant, aware we're in a spiritual battle, aware we have a spiritual enemy that we can rule over and we need to rule over. There's just one more issue that I want to address really this morning. Jesus didn't stay silent when he addressed the enemy, did he? You know, when he was in the wilderness, he spoke. He released his authority by speaking. And we need to speak out loud when we resist the enemy. And we need to speak with confidence, otherwise known as faith. Now, I'm just going to share a brief testimony with you, hopefully, to highlight this. Last week, our neighbours went away on holiday, and their mum is house-sitting, one of their mums is house-sitting for them, and she managed to lock herself out. She had the back door key but not the front door key, and she came round saying, "Can I borrow a ladder?" So I was like, right, well, okay, come on through. Took her through the house, out to our back garden and our shed where our ladder lives. Anyway, I got the ladder out and I took one look at her. Her arm was in a splint. And I thought, there's only one of us going over that fence, and it isn't you. So I realised it was my job to get myself up and over. And past the two enormous, I don't know what they are, these kind of drooling dogs, but I did manage to get myself over the fence, and there they were at the French doors, kind of drooling, looking like they wanted to eat me. And I thought, my gosh, now's the time to use my authority and faith, for sure. And so I did, and I opened the French doors, and I shouted, "Paddy, Rufus, get out." That's their names. Honestly. "Get out in the garden, get out." And they responded, praise the Lord. But they didn't respond to silence. They wouldn't have responded to silence. And they wouldn't have responded to any kind of polite suggestion, would they? No. They needed to hear authority and they needed to see boldness. Same as the devil. He needs to hear your authority. He needs to see your boldness. Not, you know, we don't have to suddenly change our tone of voice. It's not, we're not acting. It's boldness and faith that comes from reading the word. Scriptures like Ephesians 1, you know, seated with him in heavenly places. I'm far above you, get out in Jesus' name. So Jesus' words carry power. But here's the amazing thing. I've got it as a slide for you. Our words spoken in faith carry power too. Isn't that amazing? Our words spoken in faith carry power. Mark 11, verse 23 says, whoever doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says, will have whatever he says. Be quiet in Jesus' name. Get out in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. You don't need a lot of words. We're not meant to have a conversation with the devil. We issue commands. Our words spoken in faith release actual power. Think of that. According to your faith, okay? Get off my body in Jesus' name. Get out of my head in Jesus' name. Get off my finances in Jesus' name. Now, of course, we need to be good stewards with what God has given. Don't abuse your body. Don't fill your mind with rubbish. Be a good steward of the money he's given you. Be honorable. Because we can't resist the devil if we're disobeying God, can we? We don't have power over him. However, we can resist the enemy when we're in submission to God. We have power over him and he will flee from us. If we can go back to that James scripture, nearly finished. Basically, our obedience gives us confidence. 1 John 4 verse 21 says, if our hearts don't condemn us, we have confidence before God. If you know you're living right, you have confidence before God. If you know you're in submission to God, you know you have power. You can resist him in faith, confidently. Now, I really am going to finish with this. I used the example of this undercover policeman last week. There he is with his badge and his weapon. Authority and power are two different things. If you saw a man on the street with a gun trying to rule over people, there would be trouble. You know that he's a maniac. The badge gives him the authority to rule, doesn't it? The weapon gives him the power to enforce his authority. Okay? You need both. One without the other is no good. Translate that then into our spiritual reality. If we have a look at this slide, our authority or our badge comes from our position in Christ. Our weapon or the power we have comes from encounter with him. Time with him. When we spend time with him, there's a power transfer. Time in his presence, time in his word. He arms you with strength. He arms you with wisdom. He arms you with everything you need arming for. Whatever is going to come against you, he will equip you to deal with it in faith. You will have ammunition ready to use. God has so much more for us, church, than just paying our bills, working hard, getting through our days, trying to stay out of trouble, being tossed to and fro by the enemy. He wants us to wake up and believe we are who he says we are. We can do what he says we can do. He wants us to believe in our authority. He wants you to believe in your authority. He wants you to receive power through encounter with him. I'm going to ask you to stand.
If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.